Today I want to talk about the idea of who is playing in your game of life and whose side are you on. The other day I was talking to a client, and as we were talking, she was talking about God and she was talking about Christ, and she credited God for his occasional help with her feelings of peace. But by and large, she gave more credit to Satan for her more frequent feelings of fear and guilt that had been ongoing for over 60 years, maybe even closer to 70. So this idea of two different teams of power playing in the game of her life, right? God on the one hand, Satan on the other. And I think that's kind of an interesting concept, to be able to look at that and say, oh yeah, yeah, there are multiple powers, maybe two, maybe more, that are in effect working for me or against me or with me, or somehow I'm either a spectator or a victim or a participant in this game of life with these energies competing on the field. I thought that was very interesting, and I wanted to explore that. I'm not really a fan or a believer in Satan. I do believe in consciousness and that there are different levels of consciousness. Clearly, there's a consciousness that Jesus displayed, which we call Christ consciousness. He could do stuff that we couldn't do because he was conscious of other things that we were not conscious of. So you can look at that and you could break those consciousnesses down into any number of levels. I kind of think in terms now, I'd like to know more about that. I would like to be more conscious of these levels of consciousness so that I can elevate my consciousness. Hello, isn't that the game we're playing? But if you look at Christ consciousness, that's, I would say, a much higher level than most of us have attained, or all of us have attained. And so we've got ego consciousness, we've got self-consciousness, we've got human consciousness, we've got animal consciousness, we've got plant consciousness, and we've got divine consciousness, we've got universal consciousness. I suppose there are a lot of different levels that I haven't even addressed with that list that I just went through. So if you think of that, it's like, I want to be more conscious. That is, I want to be able to perceive information. I want to perceive energy more effectively than I currently do. Now, I think the average person would go, you know what, I think I do too. That's really a goal that I have. So now the question is, do we do it? Do we invest in that? Do we make efforts at that? Do we work at it? Do we practice it? Do we study it? Right? Those kind of things. So it's kind of interesting to me that if we were thinking of levels of consciousness, we want to be higher, finer, lighter, maybe with a capital L for lighter, rather than heavier or darker or slower frequencies. And you would go, okay, on a spectrum, I understand this. It could be vertical, or it could be a horizontal spectrum, whichever seems to work in the way you imagine these sort of things. Then you say, okay, on one end of the spectrum, let me put the highest awareness that I can imagine. And for today's purpose, I'll call it God consciousness or Christ consciousness. And I'm going to go back and forth, and I'll consider that energy as being closer to one end of the spectrum than a lower level of awareness. But out of respect to people who believe in Satan, I'm going to use Satan as the other end of this spectrum. And you would go, okay, got it. One end is God or Christ, and the other end is Satan. Okay, that's starting to get clearer here. So I would say the vibration, the consciousness that is toward the God-Christ end of the spectrum is liable to be more loving, more constructive. You go, okay. Some people would go, whoa, wait a minute. What about justice? What about punishment? What about hell? My personal belief is heaven and hell are fiction. They're carrots and sticks that have been orchestrated by the mind of man to coerce, control, scare, manipulate, dominate, and overwhelm people. So, if there's a hell, I think you can look around the planet Earth and find lots of examples of hellish conditions. And you can look around and you probably can find heavenly conditions as well. I don't think we need to go some other longitude and latitude, some other place, some other dimension to experience heaven and hell. I think we've done pretty well at constructing that. So, if I were to look at this higher vibration end of the spectrum, I would see it as being more constructive, that is, building, making things whole, right? Bringing things together. If I were to look at the other end of that spectrum, over on the Satan end of the scale, I would say that's more rejecting, that's more destructive, that's more separating oriented. You go, okay. So now, how do we know which side we're on at any given moment? I don't think most of us are committed to the side of Satan. I mean, if you were to choose that, I'm not on that side of the field, and I'm not on that side. I'm a Christian, I'm a this, I'm a that. It's like, And your vibrations, your thoughts, your feelings, your words, your actions, which side are they on? I know what side your lips just told me they're on. It's like, oh. And so that's really what I want to explore. I think it's kind of a cool idea, actually, as I said multiple times, probably going to say it a few more times. So how do we know which side we're on? I think it's simple. We look at the thoughts we think. We look at the emotions we feel. We look at the words we speak and to ourselves, right? What's going on in our heads all the time, that monkey chattering, and the words we speak to other people and other things. And then the actions we take and the actions we don't take. And if we were to look at those, identify them, become aware of them, become mindful of them, it starts to give us a clear answer to the question of which side we're on. It's like, I intend to be on this side, but everything I think, feel, say, and do kind of aligns me with the other team. Uh-oh. So here's what I've done. I've made some notes that say, what would Christ and God say? What would their point of view on something be? And then, what would another point of view, that is, the Satan point of view, on the other end of the spectrum, likely to be? I think this is could be instructional, but it could be valuable to you to do the same thing. Write out a statement and go, okay, if I had to choose, would Christ and God say this, or would Satan say this? Those are my choices. Does this belong on one end of the spectrum, or does it belong on the other? Is this the thought process, the energy, the vibration of one team, or is this the thought, feeling, the vibration, the word, the action of the other team? So here we go. I think that God and Christ would say, love them. And Satan would say, hate them. God and Christ would say, accept them. And Satan would say, reject them. And if you were to just take those couple of concepts and go, well, you know, biblically, what's this about? Well, if you got into the Old Testament, where to me it's an amazing amount of superstition prevalent in there because of the Jewish traditions of the time and their lower level of awareness of this thing called God, this gigantic man God, big guy thing up in the clouds, just waiting to punish some people and not others. You know, when bad things happen, oh, that God did it. And when good things happen, oh, that's good. We're chosen. We're special. You know, making up things like that is one way of doing it. However, I think we'll explore some of the ideas that may be a little closer to reality, a little closer to the truth that we're aware of today in 2012, that 2,000-3,000 years ago was a little less obvious. But even in the Bible, if you move to the New Testament, you're going to see Christ quoting, promoting love, promoting forbearance and patience and compassion and so on. And you go, a lot of the rejection occurs in the Old Testament. I think that is not God. God in Christ would say, heal them. But Satan would say, kill them, leave them alone, neglect them, Christ and God would say, share with others. Right? You're taking the Sermon on the Mount. This creating this abundance, sharing, sharing, sharing. Satan would say, take it all, even if it's not yours. God and Christ would say, there is an abundance of all things. Plenty is the reality. Satan would say, there is not enough. There is not enough. Scarcity is the reality. And then the anxiety that follows is a construct of this alignment vibrationally with the thought of scarcity. Christ and God would say, connecting is the way to health and happiness. Satan would say, separating from others makes us better and safer than others. Separate. Christ and God would say, you honor me by honoring and caring for my creations. Satan would say, innocent people and things need to be sacrificed to protect you from God's punishment. God is punitive, and you got to keep him placated. Christ and God would say, you are all equal in my eyes. Satan would say, some are chosen, some are good, some are bad, and keep those distinctions. Don't let those mingle. Be really, really aware of that. Better than, less than, not enough, and so on. Christ and God would say, respect, brotherly love, kindness, and compassion bring you closer to oneness. Satan would say, power, money, influence over others are the most important factors in life. Do that. Do that. Fame and fortune are more important. Christ and God would say, the items of the truth of existence, growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, all within a spiritual system of law and order, are provided to you. Always provided to you. Satan would say, you have to take what you want. This life is about the survival of the fittest. Christ and God would say, care for the least among you. Satan would say, the poor and the weak are that way because they are bad. Don't encourage that. Don't encourage that. Christ would say, support others. Satan would say, neglect others. Abandon others. They don't deserve it. Christ and God would say, the kingdom of God is within. Satan would say, what you want is outside of you. If you're strong enough, you can get it. Christ and God would say, sow, then reap. That is the spiritual law of cause and effect. Plant seeds, then harvest, according to the seed you planted. Satan would say, your interests are the most important. Take what you want any time and every time you can. Christ and God would say, know that you are part of the whole. Satan would say, you are all there is. Become more by amassing things, amass material goods, amass money, amass power, amass acclamation of your peers, amass influence. That's how to be more. Christ and God would say, you have all you could ever need. All you have to do is grow to become aware of that. Satan would say, life is hard, and then you die. Unless you can make life harder for others, then your life, comparatively speaking, is easier. You're trying to make your life comparatively easier. Christ and God would say, allow others. Satan would say, control and punish others. Christ and God would say, the earth needs more wanted and loved children. Satan would say, we need more children, because even unwanted children fill the world with pain, they fill the prisons with felons, and they fill the armies with soldiers willing to destroy other hopeless people. We need more children. Christ and God would say, healing is natural, and it is a given. Satan would say, disease is God punishing the weak. Synthetic medicine is the solution. The solution is outside of you, not inside. Christ and God would say, talk to us. We hear you, and we respond. Every time. Every time. Satan would say, you're alone. You're abandoned, except for my helpful advice. Christ and God would say, be like a child. Satan would say, don't be naive. This is a dog-eat-dog world. Be the big dog, or be the eaten. Christ and God would say, be still. Be. Know that you can hear me. Satan would say, you're not doing enough. Do, do, do more. You have to do more. You have to do it. Christ and God would say, health is a divine gift to each one of you. Satan would say, suffering is your destiny. The goal is to have others suffer more than you. Christ and God would say, give then get, sow then reap. Satan would say, take, then take some more, and then take some more, and then take some more. Christ and God would say, it is all good, ultimately. The sooner you resonate in consciousness with that goodness, the sooner you will know that truth. Satan would say, don't be fooled. It is all bad. Just some things are worse than others. Christ and God would say, forgive them. Satan would say, punish them. Christ and God would say, compassion. Satan would say, revenge. Christ and God would say, turn the other cheek. Get another viewpoint. Satan would say, it's already obvious. Eye for an eye is the way to go. Retribution is better. How will they learn except for pain? Christ and God would say, kindness. Satan would say, cruelty. Christ and God would say, patience. Satan would say, impatience. Hurry up. Fault finding. Christ and God would say, help them. They deserve it. Satan would say, hurt them. They deserve it. And I think that list could go on and on. This definition of the playing field, what vibration is liable to be on one end of the spectrum and what vibration is liable to be on the other. And then you could say, wow, in my conversations with myself, how do I align? What do I do? What do I think? What do I feel? What do I speak to myself and others? What do I express through my actions or inactions? Am I building or am I destroying? Am I bonding or am I rejecting? The trouble is, when we reject outwardly, we're rejecting inwardly. We can't throw the vibration of rejection at something that we believe to be outside of us without that vibration of rejection penetrating the body, ourselves. And now all of a sudden, we start to come apart at the seams. We start to experience this rejection. The rejection cell to cell is communication is decreasing. It's degrading. Our bodies are breaking down. Our affairs are breaking down. All of a sudden, business is starting to show signs of blockages and lack of inflow and ineffective outflow. And now you just go, wow, how did this happen? How did this happen? It happened because we aligned with these lower vibrations. We aligned in our thoughts and feelings, words and actions with the end of the spectrum that is contrary to our spiritual core. And with a little bit of awareness and a little bit of practicing, a little bit of mindfulness, we can notice what we're doing on a given day. And we take time to let go of these vibrations, because this is human consciousness in a lot of cases. It's a habit pattern in a lot of cases. It's stuff that we have learned and picked up from other people who were infected with these lower vibrations, this not good enough virus, if you will, the energy of wrongdoing, and it's penetrated our field as well. And so by turning to God, turning to Christ, asking for the recycling, the healing, that our needs can be met in these areas, that we can let go of what no longer serves us and be able to take in a vibration that does serve us. And as we get better and better at being able to distinguish vibrations and constantly seek to choose the highest vibration at any fork in the road, every decision has got one that is more loving and less loving. And everyone has got a higher vibration and a lower vibration, just comparatively speaking. And if we can patiently, compassionately make an effort to choose that higher vibration each time, and if we miss because our awareness doesn't allow us to see the higher vibration choice, then when it becomes available to us, when we can receive that awareness, then we quickly, compassionately make the next best choice that we can. We take the best next action in terms of thought, feeling, word, or action. And as we treat ourselves as compassionately as Christ would have treated us, now all of a sudden we go like, this really is a workable approach. This is not woo-woo. This is very, very practical. This is very pragmatic. And it's effective. Because as we lighten up, our bodies change, our affairs change, our ability to exchange energy with whatever objects we put our attention on changes. Now all of a sudden our relationships with anything and everything has a whole different feel to it, because it's this flow of energy back and forth is not permeated or colored negatively with the energy of wrongdoing. So we are out of self-protection, we're out of fear, we're out of worry, we're out of anxiety, and we're standing in this field of divine protection and healing and fulfillment of need and so on. It's all the truth of existence. That whole environment is ours if we would just become aware that that is the field that we have to be standing in every single moment. And when we can tune into that, then all the lower vibration, that stuff that our ego would tell us is real, disperses like a little teeny cloud in sunlight, like the darkness in a room when the lights go on. Those are our choices. It's to be able to distinguish those vibrational constructs that are going on in our lives at every single moment, and to be able to reach for the highest one that we can access with our current state of awareness, with the understanding that with practice, we're going to be able to reach higher levels. The menu of choices becomes greater, more brilliant, lighter, capital L, and more loving than when we're in fear and lower vibration emotional states. We have a great opportunity to determine what fields exist in our lives. I talk in terms of the 12 worlds: spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure. political, community, and maintenance. And you could see how you think, how you feel, how you speak, and how you act or don't act in regards to each one of those areas of life. And you would go, this is a good time to call on the resources that are always, always available to me. I don't have to hold on to this feeling of being abandoned, being alone, being at my wit's end, being unsupported. It's available to us. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 of Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we're sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.